Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos as well. JoJo, what's up?
Hey, man. It's quite a different view than we had the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's a little colder. As well, which I'm not a fan of, but, you know, we'll get used to it. We really can't complain. We had an awesome time in Miami and got to see the Titans get a win. So, I mean, you know, come back to reality. That's exactly what we've done.
And I come back to fighting the in-studio microphones today, too, as well. So,
yes,
they are not my best friend. But that's all right. We're good. We're back. It's good to be back in our hometown.
Dr. Crane, did you miss us?
I did. I was kind of curious where everybody's going to be today, and sure enough, there's Joe, and we're just missing you, but I see you on the screen.
Yeah, well, I'm here. There was, a wreck or something. I don't know. The interstate by my house was a mess, and I'm like, this could end poorly if I try and wait this out, so I just decided to come to the home studio.
You are correct. There's a bad wreck on I-40 eastbound on the west side of town, so.
Yep, that's exactly where I'd be going, so. Yep.
Well, you know, at least, we spent a couple days in the Miami traffic, which I think Chase was a little scared of my road rage in the Miami traffic. But you know what? I've got a problem. If you don't use two things, if I let you out, just wave at me, okay?
Yeah.
Just that's a simple wave, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Just wave at me. And secondly, is use your turn signal. Nobody in Miami uses a turn signal.
No, they really don't, and that would piss me off, too. Like, here's the thing. You drove the whole time, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I know you enjoyed that. But,
love it.
Had I been driving, you would have seen my road rage, too. I mean, like, I would have. And, like, I thought about it. I'm like, I almost flipped somebody off on your behalf. I'm like, if I do that and, you
right.
know, we well, get into a fight or something, like, I didn't want any bad stuff to happen. Because I've also noticed, and you know, I mean, it's a comment. It's an observation on my part. I just feel like people are a lot more rude in Miami than they are here.
I just imagine when that lady wanted to come over and she had her blinker on and I didn't let her come over and then she got around me and was yelling at me and I started screaming back at her in the interstate. Can you imagine what the people behind us are thinking? Because they can't hear anything. There's like, look at this big fat bald guy screaming at this sweet lady. And I was like, use your turn signal. And she's like, you need him. I can imagine what she's yelling at me, but just use your turn signal. It's that simple. That is the bottom line. Use your turn signal.
Yeah. I agree, and she didn't. So, but we made it. We're back, and talking about a Titans win, you know, just not what any of us were expecting when we went down there that we'd be coming back, and that's
right.
So, what we would be discussing, but we are. And I also didn't expect Zach Wilson and Tommy DeVito to be the players of the week, but. The world we live in now.
That is. You know, I listened to Robbie and Rexro with Paul, and I laugh every time, Chase. Every time an athlete tweets back at Paul, they're going to take an L, right? Every time. And he's talking about Dylan Raiden's tweeting back to him about whatever happened and all that stuff. And then we were laughing about DeAndre Hopkins, about how all these athletes tell you, I don't read or see anything. And you were telling me that Hopkins reads and sees everything. Everything.
Oh, yeah. And you could tell the other night. I mean, we were standing there. You know, I started his availability, and I could tell he didn't really want to, but, you know, he kind of knew he had to.
Right.
He'd been such a big part of the game. That's fine. Like, I get it. You just played a game. You're tired. Like, last thing you want to do is talk to us, but it comes with it. And so he kind of had that, like, oh, yeah, I've been hearing and seeing what y'all been saying. Y'all didn't think we could do this.
Right.
And I mean, I love that. I love that attitude. I said that, like, you know, have a little bit of that, you know, behind, you know, that energy, that chip on your shoulder. But at the same time, it was very, very close to, yeah, we were right. Like, I mean, that's how that game went. So, but hey, that's why you play a full 60.
Yeah.
And they got the win.
Yeah. I mean, people still talking about it just because, you know, we were. And by the way, folks, if you don't think Titans fans travel to cover that or see that team,
that was awesome.
Our flight back from Miami last night was packed with Titans fans. There were a few Dolphin fans on there as well, but it was packed with Titans fans who made the trip down and come back up to Nashville. And they were all happy and elated and excited and all that. So it was. With 3 minutes to go, this one guy was like, you know what? They Dolphin fans, the guy before we got on the plane, said, you know, Dolphins fans were just giving it to me with 3 minutes to go. Ha, you made the trip down here. Ha, ha, ha. And then when he turned around after they sacked Tua and the game was over, he looked around and he said, all those fans were gone.
Yep.
I was like, oh,
I mean,
nice.
A lot of people left early.
Yeah,
a lot of
they
people
did.
Left early for sure. I laughed yesterday when Mike Vrabel did his media availability, because one thing that you and I discuss both on the air and off the air is I love the tenacity that Will Levis plays with, but he's still trying to find that line of being aggressive and being smart. And sometimes when he uses his legs, he's not all that smart. He's, you know, doing the Superman fly through the air, and it literally is that scene of, you know, from Major League where he's like, that was really impressive. Don't ever bleep and do it again.
Right.
And so Mike Vrabel was asked about that yesterday, and his answer was absolutely priceless.
Will's running obviously adds a nice dimension, but I believe last week after the helicopter, you talked about him being careful, and then he was throwing his shoulder around a couple different occasions yesterday. How do you kind of use that element to temper the injury risk?
I don't know. I think we're still trying to work on that. We showed them examples of quarterbacks sliding and using the rules to their advantage. I guess we'll have to show them examples of quarterbacks not sliding and getting the knocked out of them. So we're going to try the other way this week.
Classic. There's no other way to put that, though. It's like, we've shown you what to do.
Right.
That's not working. Let's show you what not to do.
I don't think it's going to help at all. I think he's going to go for the extra yard. And you know what? And his teammates love, you know, when the saw in the locker room coming off the field tonight. I mean, they were just elated for him. And now this team's got their warrior. They got their quarterback. They got their leader for, if you're a Titans fan, hopefully the next 10, 12 years. And now you build around him. But I don't think he's going to change his stripes come this Sunday if the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think that he's got to be him. And because, like, what are you going to do? Like, if he makes an aggressive play like that, you're going to bench him?
No, not at all.
I mean, nothing. You don't want him to get hurt. And, I mean, he may have to learn the hard way. But and that's their whole thing is, like, we don't want you to get hurt. You know, we need you.
Yeah,
you know,
what's
you're the
alternative?
Starting quarterback for this team.
I mean, they got a decent backup, if you want to call Ryan Tannehill a backup. But other than that, man, I mean, it's Wildcat with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think that a Wildcat with Derrick Henry, that would be something for the whole game.
Malik but Willis or Derrick Henry? What would you rather
Derrick
have?
Derrick Henry in the Wild. Yeah, Derrick Henry.
Exactly.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. You.
Yeah, I can sling it. So that's the good part about that is.
I've seen that. But, so now the short week as the Titans and /Oilers prepare for the Texans to come to town. I don't, you know, I mean, a week ago I would have said Texans are probably going to come in here and have their way, but I also feel like the Texans are coming back down to earth a little bit.
Well, I mean, they get beat by Zach Wilson like that last Sunday. Absolutely it is. But again, I told you yesterday, the Titans can play spoilers, go out and knock the Texans out of the playoffs, go off, knock Seattle next week, maybe knock them off the playoffs. Jack, come here, knock them off of getting, you know, first-round bye or something. There's a lot to play for because you can upset other teams on your schedule. And then you finish with Houston as well and then go ahead and completely knock them out of the playoffs. So that's four games when you got a lot of redemption going on. And a lot can happen in four games, Chase McCabe.
Yeah, I did see that I believe the Titans have a 1% chance of making the playoffs.
They also,
so you're telling me there's a chance.
They also had a 0.3% chance to beat Miami, I was told.
Yeah.
And that happened.
Yeah. I thought it was great. And anybody that's still saying, you know, well, it cost them a draft pick. And now I think I looked last night, they're eighth in the draft order. Like, you just can't focus on stuff.
I have yet to meet somebody who said that. Is that a thing?
I've seen it on Twitter.
Okay. I've yet to meet anybody who says, hey, we got
to. Twitter's
take
a different
this.
World than the real world. So
it's not real life. You know that. Twitter is not real life.
Yeah, it is not. So, you can text us, call us. I'm trying to read a text. Sorry. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dylan says, Chase, you have to look up the most recent post Levis Levi's had on his story. Also, Vrabel said they showed Levis videos of quarterbacks sliding. He didn't listen, so he said they're going to show him videos of quarterbacks getting popped. Well, not sliding. Yeah, we just played the clip. So thank you, Dylan. But, yeah, I'll have to check out the story. I haven't looked at that on his social medias yet. But you and I stood in the interview room with him. I like his energy. I mean, that's the first time that I've really done that and gotten to be that close to him. I mean, he's got a vibe, and I think that's contagious.
Well, I think it's a quarterback vibe. He had it at Kentucky when they played really well. He had it, especially in 21 when Kentucky was rolling. And last year wasn't so great for him. But if you go back and watch that Ole Miss game when he played at Kentucky, he got the hell beat out of him but stood in the pocket and delivered and delivered and delivered. And you see his toughness. It's a tough kid. But you know what? He keeps bringing up, and I love it. He's got the Tom Brady chip on his shoulder. Like, I should have gone the first round. You didn't. I am where I am. I am where I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to prove to all 31 teams that you guys made a mistake. And I like that. I did, because Brady always pulled that up. Like, I went in the sixth round. I was 199th pick, and here's what I can do. And the chip on the shoulder, you keep that chip on your shoulder for a long time, you can do amazing, fun things. And so I like what he does. Now, he might go out Sunday and play. It's going to happen. There's another game he's going to play. There'll be many games he's going to play terrible. But it's just, you take the good with the bad and the bad with the good and move on from there.
Yeah, and look, he had a pick six in this game, and that was his first one. And he had two almost interceptions that he, you know, was trying to make aggressive throws. So, I mean, he's still got things that he's having to learn from. Ron on our text line says, tell him, Joe, good win. Now get back to losing. I think Joe was agreeing with me, actually. Now get back to losing. The game was the seed being planted. Now nourish what you have and take care of it to build forward. Please, no more winning the rest of the games.
That's just – get out of here. Who said that? Ron? Ron, get out of here. If you want your team to lose, hit the road, man. That's just so stupid. I'm sorry.
Andrew says, not looking like a poverty franchise on Monday Night Football is worth a few positions in the draft. That was a great win.
Yeah.
That can do so much for the young players. So much.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Levis does love him some TB12, a QB after Vrabel's own heart.
Hey, yes. As long as you win and show up and prepare hard and work hard, fine.
That's what you got to do.
That is exactly what you did. And I wish you would do that some days here.
Well, yeah, I try.
You do try. Yeah.
I try my best.
He does work hard, Joe. He's the suit.
Thank you, Nick. Nick's trying to get a raise or something. That was
Nick
cool.
Wants, I like, I'm just, Nick wants 2 days off.
No, that's all right.
I'm kidding. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. We'll continue the Titans talk. The great John McClain going to join us at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL and also this matchup between the Titans and Texans this weekend. Ryan O'Reilly, the Predators, get an overtime win last night at Bridgestone Arena. He'll join us at 10, and then Hal Gill at 10:30. So a lot of Predators talk today as well. It's Chase and Big Joe here on a Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I think everybody as a player, like, you need to be who you are. Now, it doesn't mean, like, you run wild in either direction, right? But I think that, look, if you're a fiery, passionate guy and that's just like naturally in you and it's authentic, then I think you have to be that. And there probably are times where, you know, you maybe are getting a little too high and you have to be aware of that, or too low and you need to be aware of that and how your body language is maybe, you know, affecting the team in a certain way. But I think that if you're somebody that just naturally reacts to and plays with passion, then you have to allow it to happen. Look, a little bit like I think how you have to coach. Like, when I see Mike Vrabel in his interactions, I'm like, he's being himself. Like, that's that's how he is. You know what I mean? Go talk to the punt returner. What happened? Yeah, well, this is what I think about that, you know? Like, I just think that you need to be authentic and be yourself, because when that happens, the team trusts you because you're being true.
I was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays talking about Will Levis and his energy. And I agree. Be who you are. Be authentic. That's how we are on the Chase and Big Joe show.
That is how we are. Dubin. Hey, I got a few people that are weighing in with me saying about they went to the game and how pleasant their experience was in Dolphin Stadium. And so I kind of came to mind is like our question to throw out there, what's the most pleasant? You know, we often talk about the negative and the hate and getting yelled at by opposing teams and their fans. What's the most pleasant stadium you've ever been to? Because I've got like five of these. Like, hey, we had a great time. Dolphins fans were so nice. So what's the most pleasant experience? Even after your team kicked the other team's butt, they said, you know, people were like, hi, great game. You came and, you know, did it to us. We always see the video, Chase, of the fans fighting after the game and in the stands, especially out in Vegas and up in New York or Philly. But, yeah, what's the most pleasant experience you've had going into another team's stadium? I'm curious to hear this. Okay, also, Matt Reed says, I value Matt Reed's opinion a lot. He says, I agree with you 100%. Nobody plays to lose for draft position. If you think that way, you're just a complete idiot. And I agree.
Yeah. Look, Ron has responded back. And Ron, appreciate your listening and weighing in. Says, Joe, you don't want to build a better roster? We need one of these NFL-ready receivers coming out of the draft, plus some O-linemen and secondary help, and you want to keep winning and push our draft pick back more. We got to sacrifice something, and I say sacrifice games instead of players getting hurt. Look to the future. Ron, I understand everything you're saying, but walk into that tight – like, you weren't in there Monday night, and you know, we got to be. If I had walked into that locker room and I had looked around and I go, hey, guys, congratulations. Can you stop doing that so we can get a top five draft pick?
Yeah,
I would have gotten my ass beat.
Yeah. Do you
like,
mind
like that, doing that? That it doesn't work that way. I mean, I get it. I get it. You know, tank and like have that thought and get a good draft pick and try and get a Marvin Harrison or somebody like that. You cannot tell that to those guys.
Well, no, you can't. And it's just so dumb. And I hate the narrative. I hate we even bring it up. For me, going back to the NYSE Stadium, it's weird because years ago covering the Titans when they played the 49ers at Candlestick Park, everybody was so friendly. I mean, it was so friendly. Titans even won that game out there in 2009, but they were so friendly with every went to. I'm like, is this a home game? And, you know, 49er fans love to travel. When the NFL draft was here, there are more 49er fans than anybody else that was here. But it's weird when you go someplace and they treat you really, really nice when all you hear is about how bad it's going to be when you get there.
Okay, so here's mine, and then we'll get to Wes's phone call. Mine actually happened this year, and it may surprise people, but it's one of the best experiences I've ever had going to see my team play at an away stadium, and it was at Wrigley. I mean, I call it the friendly confines for a reason. We sat out in the outfield in the bleachers, and we were trash talking, but it was fun. And like, we're buying everybody, you know, they're buying beers, I'm buying beers. Like, we were just having a really good time. The Braves end up losing, and of course, they're giving me crap for it at the end of the game, but it was just like, I never met these people in my life, and you know, we were acting like we were old buddies, and it was a fun experience. So even though my team lost, like, I had a great time at the game because I guess it lived up to the name, the friendly confines.
Oh, look at you. Well, it also helps when your team is getting their butt kicked and the home team is winning that way. And
yes,
but we've all too often, I mean, we'll see that on Instagram or the video reels of opposing teams and, you know, fans getting into it in the stands. But I got to tell you, Miami was extremely pleasant. I mean, when I was down there taking those 50 shirts they were handing out, everybody down there was really nice, and it was a good time. I brought Dr. Crane back a shirt too, Chase.
Thank you.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. I was happy. When Joe walked in and said, hey, I got you a present, I was like, really? A new shirt. I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
All about it.
For those that, you know, the Dolphins game, they're giving her a really cool, like, dry fit workout shirts. And I walked up. The girl's like, you want one? I'm like, well, let me look at him first. She's like, you want one, five, or 50? I want to go. She said, I want to go home early. I said, I'll take 50. And then she basically handed me a whole box and was like, okay. And then she was gone. I was like, oh, nice.
And then, you know, it got awkward when you walked in the Titans locker room and started handing them out.
Yeah, but, I was like, here you go. And they were like, what is this? I was like, just wear it out of here.
Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Wes in Hermitage has been waiting patiently. Wes, what's up?
Oh, good morning, fellas. Man, first off, I got to say, that Vrabel clip got me this morning, man. I had not laughed that hard at a Vrabel clip since Joe's frenzy fingers is what I like to call it with the hand signals. Man, but listening to that, man, it just made me think, and I just wanted y'all's opinion on this. There was a lot of talk even after the Atlanta game and a couple of games after that where people are saying, oh, well, you know, the Titans really just need to figure this out. They need to know if Will Levis is the quarterback, and they need to know which direction they're going to go in the draft. And, again, they say they don't listen to that, but we know these players hear everything that's being said on social media. So I think this is just, you know, Will Levis's way of showing Vrabel and the team, like, hey, make no question about it. I am your dude. Whether I throw an interception and I have to run down the field and cause a fumble and recover it, or whatever it is that I need to do, man, you put me in a position, you give me a little bit of something, and I am your man. And I think that's why he's out there laying around and putting himself, you know, diving head first and trying to lay out linebackers in the end zone for whatever reason. I just think he's trying to make it a point to let everybody know that he's here and he's not going anywhere. That's all I got.
I think that's a very good point. Thanks, Wes. I mean, I've been thinking about this, Joe, of, you know, it's so hard to find a franchise quarterback in this league. I mean, there's very few instances where you draft a guy and you go, that guy's going to be the quarterback 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Like, you know, Peyton Manning, they probably thought that in Indy, which I guess actually wasn't the case, because I think 10 years later he was – would he have already been in Denver, or was he still in – no, he was still in Indy. But so – you know, you have instances like that. I'm sure San Diego thought that Ryan Leaf was going to be their guy, and he wasn't. I mean, it's just very hard to figure it out. But I watch Levis and his energy and, you know, how he is making throws and he's not afraid to be aggressive. And it does feel like that, okay, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, he's probably the guy under center.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's a hit or miss. It's why that quarterback in professional sports is the most important position. All you soccer bozos and baseball bozos can try to get at me for whatever, but no, I'm telling you, quarterback is the most important position in sports. And when you find one, your franchise is much, much better. That's like, you know, when Andrew Luck left the Colts after 2018, yeah, 7 seasons. How many quarterbacks they've been through since then? I mean, I stopped counting after 70. I mean, it's crazy. Cleveland the same way. So when you find that one who you could just develop and loves being here and everything, it really makes a difference in your friend. Look at all the Super Bowl teams. I mean, there's a few you could pick out and say, well, look at Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson or blah, blah, blah. But still, I mean, you get that quarterback and you're set. It's probably 90% of the battle.
It is totally 100%. And you know, you gotta have that guy. I mean, that you can try and bank, like, had everything been perfect, had they not traded AJ Brown, and you know, you had him and D-Hop, you know, and you have just this vaunted offensive line, this team probably could have at least competed and maybe won a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill, who is not a franchise quarterback. At least now we know that.
Right.
But there's not a lot of room for error. I mean, Mike Vrabel even said it. We have to be perfect around him. And with Levis, I think the jury's still out. But I do think that he's shown me some signs of, as he gets more weapons and he gets more protection, like, this is a guy that can carry the team and he can win big games. I mean, he did it the other night. It was a come from behind victory. He led them down the field and they won that football game. I think that's just a sign of things to come with Will Levis. It's one game, but it certainly looked very nice. Let's squeeze in Cam's call real quick on a nice in another stadium. Cam, what's up?
Do you guys remember several years back, Vanderbilt was on that 4-0 skit? And that player got on and went viral talking about, you know, they were going to beat Alabama. Anyway, I was at that game. I was on the 50-yard line on the Vanderbilt side. I'm all decked out in crimson. And the first drive, Alabama got stopped by Vanderbilt, and they were losing their minds. But by the third quarter, the stadium was starting to, you know, kind of dissipate, and everybody was walking by me. They were like, hey, good luck when y'all play LSU in 2 weeks. Because I think Alabama ended up beating them 56-6 or something crazy like that. But everybody was so cool after just taking a beating. And they were all optimistic that we could beat LSU. That's all I got.
Cool. Thanks for the call, Cam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I remember that interview for some reason, Chase.
Why do you remember that?
I was the one that interviewed the Vanderbilt player on the field. They just beat Kansas State. They were 3-0, and I said, what's this do for your program? And he said, oh, this is great. Alabama, you're next. You don't know what's gonna you don't know what's gonna hit you. You're up next. And then they played that clip for Saban the next week. It got almost 5 million views. Because of that interview, Vanderbilt stopped letting you interview people on the players on the field. They stopped doing that. And that was me and Justin Beasley. And he uploaded the clip and went nearly 5 million views on it. Saban played it the next week and says, oh, we don't mean anything by then. And I think Bama won either 45-0 or 59-0 in that game.
I think it was 59-0. Was that Tua's debut?
It might have been. It was 2017.
I think it was. And that was here, right?
That was here. Yeah, you're right.
It was. I went to that game and left pretty quick.
Yep, there you go.
But that was 100% when Tua made his debut.
My bad.
Yeah, good job, Joe. All right, we will talk to John McClain, the great John McClain, next. Get his thoughts on this matchup this weekend and all things around the NFL. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Let's, as we always do at this time on Wednesdays, bring in our man John McClain. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. You guys sure had a fun trip to South Florida, didn't you?
We did. We did not expect the result that we got on Monday night, but what did you think about that comeback, being down by 2 touchdowns, and Will Levis leads his team to victory? I thought it was a gutsy decision to go for 2, and Mike Vrabel did, but it was the right one, and they get the W.
Mike's a genius again. It's amazing, isn't it? Everybody's ready to run him out of town. Now he looks smart, and I thought they'd get blown out by the Dolphins. Miami's really good at home. I was watching their game and trying to keep up with the other one a little bit because of Tommy DeVito and his agent. But I thought at the end, when they fumbled the punt, and then when the bad pitch from Levis to Henry, I thought, okay, that's over. It's just a matter of will the Dolphins score again. And it is one of the most miraculous comebacks I've seen. Everything the Titans needed to do right, they did. Everything the Dolphins needed to do wrong, they did. It was a huge victory. That'll do so much for your confidence, and especially going up in this game against the Texans, who just were shellacked by the Jets 30-6 in the worst game of the season. And so I thought it was I'm happy for Vrabel. I don't know Will Levis, but to be 3-3, and I'll tell you what, he needs to temper the way he plays. I know Vrabel talked about that. You know, he can go nuts on the sideline. That's fine. But, boy, he can't go nuts. He keeps playing like that. I saw him lower his shoulder one time when there was a lineman coming in. He had a collision, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, that's the best way to have some shoulder separation. I'll guarantee you Vrabel and Tim Kelly, if they didn't go ballistic on the sideline, they were going ballistic on the inside.
Did you hear Vrabel's comments and what he said yesterday?
About teaching him to slide?
Yeah. Now they're going to show him videos of what not to do, essentially.
Yeah, basically it's what he did, because it's great. Fans love a player who does that. But, man, as you're finding out all over the league, and the Titans found it out with Ryan Tannehill, so many guys are having to play, and it was a great move for Levis. I think we all knew he's going to start at some point because they had to see what they had. But like Tommy DeVito, you know, there's some great success stories. Jake Browning, but you still generally don't want to play your backup quarterback. The Texans have a backup, Davis Mills, who won in Nashville last year with a terrible team, and he's going to be without his leading receiver, Nico Collins, and they lost Tank Dell the week before. Then they didn't have Dalton Schultz this week, plus they can't run the ball worth a darn. But Mills, Texans have won 3 of the last 4 up there, And 2 years ago, when the Texans were at their worst, remember when the Titans came here and everything was going well and they had to win to get off-field advantage, and Mills threw for over 300 yards and three touchdowns and had a rating of like 126, and Titans won by three. So they've seen what Davis Mills is capable of doing. This new staff here is not, because he hadn't played, because C.J. Stroud has been tremendous, but now he has a concussion. They haven't ruled him out. They never do. But most of us think Mills will be starting on Sunday.
We're talking to the great John McClain this morning on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. And, John, I saw your tweet on Sunday about the passing of Frank Wycheck, and Nashville is hurting because we love that guy a lot on and off the field. You tweeted something. You first saw him at a practice in Maryville, Tennessee, between the Redskins and Oilers. Take us back to that moment, if you don't mind.
Frank played for the Redskins, and he was in, I think it was going into his third year, and they were playing a game at UT, and they wanted to practice against each other. And so they went to Maryville, and I remember being there sitting on the sideline with Charlie Casserly, the general manager of the Redskins, who would become the general manager of the Texans. And so we were talking about all their players. I had to get the inside scoop because my wife grew up in D.C. and lives and dies with the Redskins. So I was asking Charlie a million questions. And then he came to a guy, Frank Wycheck, who he said they had tried to move to fullback, and that didn't work because he was more of an H-back, good receiver, very smart. They had high hopes for him. But and Frank had really good practices. And I told Floyd, I pointed him out, and he said, yeah, I've been watching him. And I told him what Casserly said. And nobody thought the Redskins would cut him, but they did. And they jumped, the Oilers jumped all over him. And in his 2 years here before they moved, you know, he got in the same year as Steve McNair, Chris Sanders. They had a lot of players that came in under Jeff Fisher in Jeff's first full year as the head coach, and they went 8-8 under terrible circumstances. And Frank really didn't have a chance to emerge as a player or a personality in his second year, their last year here, when Eddie George was NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year with more 1,300 yards. And Frank emerged. He had his career-high touchdown catches here. Chris Chandler was a quarterback. McNair only started six games in his 2 years here. But Frank emerged. And then, of course, the rest is history when he got to Nashville to play the first 2 years for the Tennessee Oilers. And one of the things that always stood out for me with Frank is I did a lot of charity work in Nashville, hosted events, and 13 years in a row I did it for the Charles Davis Foundation. And Jeff Fisher was gracious enough to come to every year. And man, he brought a great array of guests. And there was a lot of them, like Jim Schwartz was there, Dave McGinnis. And the thing that we did at the Lowe's, we always told them, it was like Vegas. Whatever was said there could not leave there. And Frank came several years. I had Eddie George, Steve McNair, Vince Young came 2 years in a row. But man, Frank came several years. And Frank could have been there, I think, there, because not only was he great on the radio and as a talk show host, but he was also great as an analyst. And he kissed enough babies. You know, he got it. It was real. He was genuine. There's nothing phony about Frank. He just loved being out in the public, and he loved Nashville, and he loved Middle Tennessee. And I know a lot of people are mourning up there because he died, especially way too young. But I always remember him, not just as a great player, but also as a great person in the community.
John, how critical was Frank Wycheck to the success of getting Steve McNair rolling and giving Steve McNair confidence, especially in those early years, 97, 98, and so forth?
Joe, he was, and they developed a relationship here in their 2 years together. A lot of the players wanted Steve to start. They didn't want Chris Chandler as the starter. They knew Steve had talent because Steve signed a 7-year contract. You can't do that anymore. But they knew they had time to develop him, and they thought because he played at a small college, he would need more time. But it was obvious about the athleticism, the arm, and everything. And so he and Frank, because they came in together, they had that relationship. And then when he became a starter in Nashville, Frank was kind of his safety valve. Steve wasn't going to throw a lot of deep passes right away. He wasn't going to accuracy wasn't his forte right away, but he always knew where Frank was going to be, whether it was a short route, whether it was an intermediate route, going over the middle, going to the sideline. If it was third and six, Frank would be at 7 yards, and they knew that. And he was very comfortable with Frank. So Frank played a major role in Steve becoming the great quarterback he became.
John McClain is with us from Houston. We'll have more with him, including this matchup this weekend between the Oilers and the Texans here in Nashville. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin on a Wednesday, continuing our conversation with the great John McClain, sportsradio610.com in Houston. That's where you can read his work and, of course, does a lot of radio appearances across the country. So, John, the Oilers back in the throwbacks this weekend against Houston. I don't think the players really give a crap about that, do they? It's more the fans,
players,
right?
Players don't give a rat's you know what about that. And here, they were on my talk show midday yesterday. They were trying to make a big deal. I said, guys, I'm way beyond that. That was a bigger deal when the season started. Texans are going to be without Stroud. They're going to be without some of their best players. They're in a must-win situation. They're 7-5 in the thick of the wild card race, one game out of first place. Who cares what uniform the Titans are wearing? I'll mention it in my pregame preview, and that's it. But unless I'm asked on talk show, I don't even think about it. Now, all I know is when I said I liked it before the season, everybody's ready to run me out of town here. And the reason I like it is because all those players I covered for 20 years, they like it. You know, Dan Pastorini, Robert Bazile, White Suit Johnson, Billy's going to be honored. And I think it's great when they play the video of him doing the funky chicken. That was one of the early touchdown dances. He's such a great guy. And so all those guys love it. It's never going to happen here. If it's going to happen somewhere, it's in Nashville. So I can't wait to see it. What the Texans need to be worried about is Derrick Henry. It amazes to me on Monday night, you limit Derrick Henry 34 yards and 2 yards carry, you ought to win the game, especially when you rush for 158 and average 5.1. For my column that I'm writing about the Texans and Henry, as you mentioned on sportsradio610.com, Henry is lucky he hasn't been arrested here for assault and battery. He is in the last five games, he's averaging 203 yards a game and 7.1 a carry. Last year, they were celebrating. They held him to 126 and 5.4 carry, and they won the game up there, 19-14. The last time he didn't have 100 against the Texans was the first time they played in 2019 when he had 86. And then he started the string of four in a row with over 200. And the Texans caught a huge break in 2021 because they had two games against the Titans when he was injured. And so they got lucky. So the Texans are playing great run defense right now. And if they're ever going to limit him to less than 100 again, this would be the Sunday to do it.
John, you know Bud Adams really well. And a few years ago, somebody told me that, you know, if Bud Adams had said, you know, tongue in cheek, if they win two games all year, he'd be happy as long as both of those are against the Houston Texans. Did you ever get that kind of disdain that Bud had for that franchise and wanting to beat them so bad?
He wanted to beat them, and it wasn't disdain. I think it was Bud never understood why Houston would not build him a new stadium, and they were so quick to build one for Bob McNair. Well, the reason was they'd lost their franchise, and the city here, the politicians, the business leaders screwed Bud royally. We never even had a referendum. He only won $180 million. He was going to put in the rest, and so we never had a referendum. We had two for the Rockets. The first one failed, so they had another one that passed. And Bud taking the Oilers to Nashville was the best thing that happened to the Astros and Rockets because the voters panicked, and both of them were threatening the lease, so they built them Taj Mahals. And I think that was it. Bud had to hear about the Texans every day constantly, and And I know he was happy with the way things have worked out in Nashville. Amy Adams Strunk, of course, is ecstatic about the way things have worked out up there. And I always get excited when they play. We've never had the kind of rivalry between the Titans and the Texans as there should be. And one reason is they're not playing for the playoffs every year. It's not like the Astros and Rangers this year where they played 13 times. Every game was crucial. They played in the World Series. They were there. So much hostility between organizations. And this one hadn't had it. 1 or 2 years when Fisher Kubiak, as the coaches, they were both good, but basically they've never been good playing for something. And if the uniforms are what it takes to get the riled up, so be it. It just should be a whole lot more intense than it is.
I totally agree. And one more about Bud, John. What would Bud Adams think about Derrick Henry? I know he passed way before Derrick came here. You spent a lot of time around Bud when he had Earl Campbell and Eddie George. What would you think Bud think about Derrick Henry?
He would love Derrick Henry because Bud was old school. He liked the running backs that ran over people, that were physical, that took a licking and kept on taking. And they've had great running backs going back to the original Oilers, won the first two American League championships with players like George Blanda, Charlie Hennigan, and Charlie Tolar and Billy Cannon. And then they lost the third one in double overtime to the Texans, who became the Chiefs. And they always, and most of the time, they had run-oriented offenses built around backs. They had Mike Rozier, Heisman Trophy winner. It was very important to them to get a running back. And the first really, truly great was Earl Campbell in 1978, who played for Bum Phillips. So he would absolutely love watching Derrick Henry.
John, real quick, as you know, you look at the league as a whole right now, what team in your mind is the best in the National Football League at this point, knowing, like we all know, that could certainly change?
Without a doubt, it's the 49ers. They pounded the Cowboys. They pounded the Eagles. And they pounded the Jaguars. And they did it on the road against the Eagles and the road against the Jaguars. And right now, if they keep Brock Purdy healthy, then they should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. The three best teams are in the NFC. No great team is in the AFC.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. John, appreciate it as always, and we will talk next week.
Chase and Joe, I look forward to reviewing the game with you guys. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. He is John McClain. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and you can find his work, sportsradio610.com, in Houston. We'll keep it going and shift gears into some Predators action. They got the big OT win last night against Philadelphia. Ryan O'Reilly will join us coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.